Have you ever found yourself in the middle of something and working hard, but really just truly excelling week after week, and then had this moment where you asked yourself, what am I even doing? Why am I here? And why am I pursuing this thing? Well, that is exactly what happened to my friend Jessica. And if you are someone who is always striving to do the absolute best, who is seeking excellence, not just doing well at things, but really, I mean, you want to be the top of the top, then you are going to love this week's guest. Jessica Castillo is a Catholic life and health coach and the founder of A Thriving Catholic, but she is also a West Point grad. She is a veteran and she is amazing. So listen in this week. We are going to talk about some habits that can really transform your life. And we're also going to share how you can truly be living out peak performance.
Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Persistence in Prayer podcast hosted by Catholic mindset coach, wife, mother, educator, and speaker, Kylie Hine. Kylie is passionate about helping you deepen your relationship with God through the power of prayer. This podcast is a space for high achievers who want to do it all, but also want to prioritize their spiritual life and grow in faith. Join us as we explore the beauty of persistence in prayer and the transformative impact it can have on our lives. Get ready to discover practical tips, insights, and inspiration to help you develop a daily prayer practice and cultivate a deeper sense of trust in God's plan for your life. Let's journey together towards a more fulfilled and faithful life as we invite the Holy Spirit in. Let's begin.
Please help me in welcoming the wonderful Jessica Castillo. Jessica is a Catholic life and health coach and the founder of A Thriving Catholic, where she helps her clients develop the transformative habits of body, mind, and soul that allow them to stop merely surviving each day and instead start living the thriving and abundant lives that God made them for. Jessica, thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I feel like there's so much to your story that your bio does not even touch on. Can you just give us a quick rundown of kind of like, what is your story? How did you get here? And then also tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, sure. So my background is that I am actually a West Point graduate and a former Army officer. So I am an adult convert to Catholicism. I ended up coming into the church in between my two combat deployments to Iraq. So I came into the church at Easter Vigil 2010, and shortly after that, married my husband. And so we have together three children. And when I was getting out of the Army and pregnant with my first child, I was really struggling to figure out what God wanted me to do now that I was done with the Army and it was time to start raising a family. And so I really struggled with what a good Catholic wife and mom be like and look like, and what was my mission, what was my vocation all about. And because I was still kind of a baby Catholic at that time, I didn't understand very clearly how greatly varied all the lives of the saints are, and that there's not really a cookie cutter perfect Catholic wife and mom, that there's this mold that I needed to fit into. But I didn't understand that at the time. So I was really struggling with that identity of no longer being a working professional. And now I was a stay-at-home mom. And what was I supposed to be doing with my life? I was still very achievement-oriented and driven. So I was starting a lot of different graduate school programs. And so I like to joke that I'm a grad school dropout, because like kind of like the Greece beauty school dropout, because I was just constantly in a grad school program because I would think, this is it. I'm going to be a counselor, or I'm going to be a teacher, or I'm going to do this thing. And so I couldn't find anything that really fit me. And really what ended up happening for me is that I had this downward spiral, this real struggle with what I know now was depression, but I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to be doing with my life. And I didn't want to be wasting my potential, my talents, my gifts that I felt the Lord had given me And I just felt really trapped and stuck in this life of being Catholic wife and mom. And I felt like I was just another, you know, the word just was always in my mind and heart. Like, I'm just another mom. I'm just another Catholic woman. And there was nothing special about me. And there was nothing special I could do. And so I started really spiraling. And, you know, one quote that I often think about in this time is what St. Thomas Aquinas said. He said, man cannot live without joy. So when he is deprived of true spiritual joy, it is necessary that he turn to carnal pleasures. And for me, because I had this great disconnect between this extraordinary life that I thought God had promised me when I was going through RCIA and coming into the church versus the reality of what my existence was, which really I felt like I was just surviving, I felt such a lack of joy that I definitely turned to these carnal pleasures. I started drinking heavily. I was binge eating junk food. I was staying up late to binge watch Netflix. I was just a mess. And I knew I was a mess, but I didn't care. Like, I couldn't care because I didn't understand what I was dealing with. So thanks be to God, I had a wake-up call, and a good friend really bluntly pointed out to me, this is depression. You are depressed. And so that was actually such a grace, though, because that helped me take stock of what was going on in my body and mind that I had control over, that I could fix. And so I started implementing this strategy of taking better care of my body and mind, and it worked very rapidly. My mood was so much better. I had lost a lot of weight. I had more energy. I could think more clearly. And I recognized all of these physical changes had such a huge impact on my mental health. And then it finally took me to this doorstep of where I could turn back to the Lord and actually, from a place of clarity and a place of wholeness, I could turn to God and ask, what do you want me to do with my life? Because I feel like you've called me to something. And I feel like I'm missing that calling, which is why I feel so unfulfilled and so unhappy. And when I did that, and I was finally radically open to hearing what God had to say, instead of chasing the next grad school program, I very clearly felt the call to found a thriving Catholic. And at that time, I didn't know that coaching was a thing. I didn't know that there was a name for what I wanted to do. I just knew that I could help other Catholic women break free from living their lives of quiet desperation, and I could help them develop those habits that would give them more energy, more vitality, like more wholeness, so then they could actually have that strength that they needed to be able to serve the Lord in whatever unique way he was calling them to serve him. So that's how I started a thriving Catholic. Mm-hmm. And then as I started, it just took one step after another. That's when I learned more about the world of coaching. And I ended up getting certified as an integrative nutrition health coach and started training in Catholic mindset coaching. And all of that came later. But the vision for a thriving Catholic was the first thing.
I think it's so wonderful because sometimes God puts this thing on our heart, and we truly have no idea how we are going to get there. Like, okay, now once I finally know what it is, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but he just provides if we are patient and we follow that inclination. I want to go back to some of the things that you brought up, because I think that the questions you were asking yourself are so relatable to my audience and just so many women in general. So the first question that you said was, what does God want me to do? And I have found myself asking this question, even when I was working 60 hours a week, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? It never felt like it was enough. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do you have clients still come to you with that question? What does God want me to do? I can't figure out what he wants me to do with this 5 minutes. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you mentioned like this 5 minutes and then this bigger life picture too, because if we don't have that clarity on what the bigger picture of our life is, it's really hard to figure out what we should do in those 5 minutes too.
Yes.
I've definitely had clients come to me and say, well, I just need more time. I just need more free time. And then I'll ask them, well, what would you do with that time? And they just get that deer in headlights look of,
I don't know. I need it though.
My response would have been take a nap. I would take a nap.
Yeah. There's a lot of take a nap, but a lot of, especially moms, I think if they do unexpectedly get handed a chunk of free time, like for instance, say their mother-in-law is now able to watch their kids and they say, okay, you have an afternoon for yourself. They really are almost at a loss because they have no idea what they want to do with that time versus what they need to do. You know, there's all of these things that it can be very challenging. So that's a really good place to kind of start and dig into. How would you want to spend, what would that extraordinary life look and feel like for you? And how can we get your current reality closer to that ideal? And also dreaming with the Lord, like you said, like when we have this vision for our lives, we say, you know, so, and I think this is very common of very driven, very type A, very motivated people, which I tend to attract a lot of that kind of client to myself. And they'll come and they have this idea and I'll say, well, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and this is how I'm going to do it. And when we take a step back and we say, okay, that's good. Thank you for sharing. But what is the Lord asking you to do? What is he, does he get a say in this? And what's okay? And that was something that I had to learn the hard way for myself because I'm so stubborn and choleric myself. I thought I knew exactly what I was going to do when I got out of the army. I was already accepted into my first graduate school program. I already knew what I was going to be doing. And I think it was actually looking back on it, such a great grace and blessing from the Lord that he just kept putting brick wall after brick wall in my path. And I needed that to really slow me down and get me to stop and ask those deeper questions and be open to hearing what he had to say.
Absolutely. I think that sometimes we can, especially like you said, the high choleric, because I'm also high choleric, we push and push and push like the next degree. Well, if I just get this one more thing, if I learn this one more thing, I'll be able to do something with it. I don't know, but I'm supposed to do it. And we want to be recognized for it.
But I dropped out of every grad school program with the perfect 4.0. Like I was a good student, but I just was not, it was never a good fit. It was never the right thing.
And why do I want this degree? Like why does the Lord want me to have this? Because if he doesn't, then I'm pursuing it for some other reason, either because I want recognition, because I feel like I'm not enough, or because I really just don't know what to do and I don't know how to sit still. So I'm going to do anything else to not be still.
Yeah. It feels better to be striving for something, even if it's the wrong something, than it does to not know or to be stuck in indecision. I think that that's, for cholerics, it's very, that feeling of indecision is the worst. So we just have to decide. We have to decide and move. And sometimes it's hard to take that pause to let the Lord lead us.
Absolutely. And then it leads to, like you said, where the Lord has to intervene and say, no, I need you to slow down. And sometimes that can show up in our bodies. You work a lot with the body and soul connection. When we are constantly going and going and going, and we're putting ourselves in these high stress situations because we're not resting, we're always pursuing the next thing. How does that show up in people's bodies?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, some of the more obvious things, especially with women, will be like hormonal disruption. So problems with their menstrual cycle, difficulty sleeping. Sleep is a huge issue I help my clients with. Weight gain, or especially weight gain around the midsection and the belly area. This is really common because stress is so high. So these sort of things start manifesting in the body, but also habits like I developed myself where they're coping by turning to substances, whether that's food or alcohol or, you know, even scrolling or binging type behaviors because they're not managing or dealing with their stress adequately. And one of the things that I really like to help my clients recognize is that they can still be a very motivated, high-achieving, driven person and not let it consume them. That they can actually be thriving even while being a high achiever. And so that really comes down to keeping priorities very crystal clear and in order. And so when we keep first things first, and really for us as Catholics, we know that this is our relationship with the Lord. When we keep our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus, he allows us to run this race way better than we can do on our own. And he also, you know, augments our efforts. He gives us and is able to accomplish in and through us more than we might ask or think. So if we think we have big dreams for our lives, well, God has bigger dreams for our lives. And he can also help us to actually achieve them in a way that is ordered, in a way that doesn't lead to burnout and stress and all of these things that we attribute to chronic health conditions.
Yeah, I remember just thinking back to my early 20s of the extreme work hours and just going and going and going. And like you said, food and alcohol. Food was always on the go because that's all you ever had time for. The alcohol was on the weekends because it's like that's your only social time. The bar was what was open. Or I had friends who worked, you know, crazy hours. And so that was the only place to meet. So then you found yourself drinking to be social, but also coping with the stress and not even realizing that that is what you are doing. And also sleep for me was something that for so long I struggled with. And I didn't realize that I actually could turn my brain off. I could get to a point where I wasn't thinking all the time. But I also grew up with a dad and my mom too, where theirs didn't turn off either. They both had trouble sleeping. And so that's what I grew up with. I didn't know that it could be different. So we're ending Lent, right? Where we've been in the desert, we're exiting out. You just finished up a really great Lenten group. Will you tell us kind of what were the fruits of that group that you had?
Yeah, so this has been my second year now running the Missio Parada Lenten Challenge. And Missio Parada is Latin for mission ready. And the intent of the challenge was, my goal was to help people literally become fit instruments in the hands of God so that they could accomplish the work that he's given them to do. But in order to become mission ready, they really, for most people, we needed to cut out some of these habits that were holding us back or destroying our health. So having a disciplined diet, eliminating inflammatory foods, getting enough sleep, getting enough daily movement. So these were part of the challenge. And then also incorporating into your life a disciplined schedule of prayer, which for the purposes of the Missio Parada Challenge include 30 minutes of daily Lectio Divina and a daily rosary. So we took these habits and, you know, combined them in this challenge. So we had this group of people working together on all of these habits that really are truly in and of themselves transformative. But when we do them all together at the same time, the effect is really, it's really life-changing. So some of the response from the challenge has been for many people who had never actually been that intentional about their diet before, they were surprised how well they felt, how much energy they had. They didn't need a nap every afternoon anymore. They could actually function the whole day. They could think clearly. But I think a bigger fruit of the challenge for most people was that for many people, they've never had that deep meditative prayer before, where they didn't know how to have that kind of deep prayer before. And incorporating that and also all of the graces and blessings that come from praying the rosary, people have profound experiences of a relationship with the Lord or recognizing that God has something to say to them in scripture, like to them uniquely and to them individually. And so I think that was one of the best fruits of the challenge. And of course, when people have more energy, more clarity of thought, they don't need a nap in the middle of the day anymore. They don't feel like they're just surviving their day. So they actually now do have the capacity to listen in their times of prayer to what the Lord might be calling them to do. Maybe he's got something extraordinary lined up for them and now they're ready for it. So that was the goal and the end of the Missio Prada challenge.
The food thing. I don't know if I didn't believe it for a long time, but I never realized how much it affected me. And I know some of the things that you cut out in your challenge are sugar. I think you do wheat. Is that right?
Gluten. Yeah.
Gluten. Yeah. Sugar, gluten.
Dairy and alcohol.
Yes. Okay. So all four things that I have had to cut out of my diet over time, in addition to other things, and it does make a difference. And I even found through some of my food allergies as we were doing testing, because the place they go, they do a very specific type of testing where they will inject me with something that I'm allergic to and then monitor the symptoms. The doom and gloom, that's what they call it, doom and gloom, like this anxiety that comes over you from a food that you are ingesting. That blew my mind, that or nausea, like these things that were happening to my body that I thought were a result of stress, which adds into it, but it was really from something that I was eating and it was causing it to be so recurrent all of the time. And I had no idea.
Well, I feel like what happens is people are so used to feeling bad all the time that they don't even know what it feels like to feel well. And so this is your normal. If your normal is that you're always a little achy and tired and your nose runs every day, then you don't feel that there's a difference. You don't know what it's like to have this vital energy or to have this really happy mood where you're just like washing your dishes and you think, I'm really happy right now. What's going on in my external circumstances? Nothing. Nothing has changed. But you will feel so much more joy and vitality in your life. And yeah, people don't even know. And so part of why I included that in the Missio Prada Lenten Challenge is because I knew how powerful those habits were for people. But I also know that Lent is a time that people are willing to embrace challenge. They're willing to embrace something that's hard in a way that maybe they're not always ready to do something that feels that difficult for them. So it's great. I always said, well, let's capitalize on your desire to do something hard and let's do it for the greater glory of the Lord and see what happens. And the first year I ran the challenge, it was just a let's see what happens sort of thing I wanted to see. And now I know that it is really powerful and it is transformative for a lot of people.
Whether it's eliminating food or making time to pray the rosary or Lectio Divina, which I will say one of my Lenten things several years ago was praying the rosary every day. And I have stuck with it ever since. It is such a beautiful practice. So if you are not praying a daily rosary, I highly recommend it. But going back to this, a lot of people, I think, will say, I don't have the self-discipline for that. Do you think it's a self-discipline issue or is it something else?
I think that different personality types respond differently. I think anyone can be disciplined enough to do something if they have a deep enough why for why they're doing. And so I think for people who think that they lack discipline, what they really lack is a strong enough motivation to help them do it. So I think that's part of it. A strong enough why to do it. And then the other part is really just about systems. It's about having the systems in place that make it possible and make it easy for you to implement and develop these habits. And this is why for the Missio Prada Lenten Challenge, I provided free weekly training and coaching calls. But for some people, that's still not going to be enough to really dig deeper into the actual practical obstacles that they might be facing, but also the mindset things that come up, because sometimes people don't realize how much they're holding on to some of these bad habits. Like for instance, if your thought is this is all I have. The only pleasure I have in life is that I can have this glass of wine and watch Netflix when my kids finally go to bed. And it's going to be a big ask for me to tell you to get 8 hours of sleep and to stop drinking alcohol. So you're like, no, that's all I have. So some of that requires a little bit deeper work. And that's where coaching can be really powerful, to work with a client one-on-one and kind of dig into what is this limiting belief? What is holding you back from making this change? I think it's very rarely a lack of self-discipline. People are disciplined enough to do things. They just either lack a good enough reason why they should, and then also the practical and mindset pieces of just really the science of habit formation. How do we incorporate that? We know how habits work. Let's just tap into that and use it to apply to what you choose with your intellect and your will to do differently in your lives.
So speaking of intellect and will, I feel like that is a very Catholic, those are Catholic words, right? Talking about the intellect and the will. So you brought up St. Thomas Aquinas earlier. What is the impact of being Catholic on your, how does it affect your approach to health versus someone who's an integrative health coach that is not Catholic?
I think that's such a great question. Well, first of all, as a Catholic, I think that we should not compartmentalize anything in our lives, that everything is this beautiful united whole. And then also as a Catholic, we know that we are just this beautiful body-soul composite. So it would be really impossible for us to try to separate out and say, this is my body and this is my soul and they're separate. That's just not the truth of our nature, of our human nature. So when one part of your nature suffers, either your soul or your body, the other also suffers. And so as a Catholic life and health coach, I try to really bring that integration and unity into everything I do. And then I feel like it also helps to avoid some really common pitfalls that other health coaches or wellness experts can fall into, which it can be really easy to make an idol of our health and wellness and to think, well, perfect health is the goal. And really, I think of perfect health and thriving health as a tool. As we are instruments in the hands of God, so is our health a tool to be used at his service, in the service of God and our neighbor. And I also think that it's really easy to slip into new ageism with wellness, where, you know, a lot of people in the health space talk about the universe or manifesting things. And so I really love being able to, in my work, draw on a very deep and rich tradition that's founded in the teachings of the Catholic Church, that's founded in the writings and lives of the saints, that incorporates prayer very heavily in my coaching, which I think I really don't know any other health coaches that are incorporating a lot of prayer. But sometimes what I work with my clients on is, you know, how to have more aspirational prayers in their day. And that's what's going to help them actually get to that next level of now they can make these other lifestyle and habit changes. So I just feel like for me, it can't be separated. There's no way to just separate out and say, well, I'm a Catholic who happens to be a coach. And for me, I'm like, no, I'm a Catholic coach. It's like fully integrated in what I do.
Absolutely. Which is what I love so much about the work that you are doing. I think that really drew my attention to you when I first learned about your coaching, was you do focus so much on helping people get good sleep and develop healthy habits. But prayer is just as integral. You talk about prayer just as much in everything that you are doing. So this kind of leads to my next question. I think part of it comes from making sure that we're prayerful when we are approaching these things. But as you mentioned, approaching or having a lot of type A clients come to you, how do we get from not trying to do it all ourselves to relying on the Lord to help us take care of our bodies, take care of our souls, take care of our kids? Because oftentimes cholerics are very self-reliant. We don't see a problem because we think we do everything right.
Yes. So I can speak from personal experience here and say that this is a lesson that the Lord has been working on me with for my whole life long. And so I am still learning this lesson, which is why it's helpful for me. I feel like that's why I can provide some insight to choleric clients, because I totally get it. I understand it entirely. And so I think when it comes to how do we push and do our best but also rely on the Lord and not on ourselves. I think it really comes down to a very moment-to-moment acknowledgement of, first of all, the presence of God. Just the Lord is with me now. And in each moment, I can ask him to be with me. And so I think constantly drawing to mind the fact that the Lord is here and present and active, and offering each thing that I'm doing to the Lord, and then really accepting whatever comes from that, whatever comes from that moment. Because I think that the real challenge with cholerics or with type A driven people, it isn't so much that they want to achieve and do a lot of things. I think that the Lord has made us that way. And so I don't think that that's the issue. I think that the issue is that we want to also then control the outcomes.
Yes.
And so I think what we have to do is embrace our intensity, embrace our desire to achieve and to excel. I think there's nothing wrong with wanting to be excellent. The Lord planted that desire in your soul to be great, to be extraordinary. That's what he's made. He's designed you that way. So if we fight against that, we're just fighting against our own nature, and that's ridiculous. But if we channel that intensity as into service of the Lord, knowing that it's his strength that's given us that, like nothing that we have is on our own. He's given us our gifts. He's given us our talents. He's given us the very breath in our lungs and the strength that we have to do the work that he's given us to do. He's given us all of that. It's all a gift. So then when we channel that intensity, and then we also say to the Lord, now you do what you're going to do with it. I'm going to do my best, and then I'm going to like lose hands on the results. What comes of this? What happens next? What you plan to do with this? That's all you, Lord. That's your lane. My lane is to discern your will as well as I can. And then I'm going to channel all of my intensity and energy and strength into doing your will with excellence, the very best I can. But I'm not going to worry about what comes next. I'm not going to worry about the outcomes. And that's where I think the difference is. That's where I think it turns away from being ungodly self-reliance. Because with so many driven type A people, we're worried about what we achieve, what we accomplish, what we do. And I think that if we can shift the focus from those outcome-oriented things and instead shift the focus to who we are becoming in the doing, are we becoming that saint version of ourselves? Are we becoming more loving, more kind, more gentle, having those fruits of the Holy Spirit manifest in our lives as we're pushing and as we're trying to achieve? I think that really changes the whole dynamic.
Absolutely. You explained that so beautifully. So thank you for that.
Like I said, I've been dealing with it a long time.
Absolutely. And I can 100% relate, and I know so many of my clients can too, of the letting go of control is so difficult. We want to be in control of our time, of our outcomes, all of the things. And so surrendering to that to God is difficult. And another question that I think can come up, because cholerics, it's like, well, we think in our brains we can fit it all in, but we really can't. So how do we know what we're fitting in and what we can't fit in? Because trying to fit in all of the prayer and all of the exercise and all of the healthy eating, which does take some planning initially to learn how to eat that way, where do we start? Because even though we think we can fit it all in and be perfect at it, we're going to burn ourselves out trying to do it. Where do we start?
Yeah. So I have a tool that I love to use with my clients, and I actually offer for free, called the Habits Planner. And it includes an ideal week spread and also tabs for figuring out which habits you actually are trying to develop. And then also a tab for figuring out and building your routines. Because I think the more routines we have in our lives, the more we can habit stack, the more efficient we can be. Love efficiency and productivity, just like the next type A person would. But I also think that what that helps us visualize on a grid is, this is it. This is the time that I have. And I know I want to do everything. And I wanted to have done everything yesterday. I want it to be all done. But if this is what I got, this is all I have to work with, then it's a great blessing to recognize I can't do everything. So therefore, I must choose to only do what's important. And then it forces you to like sieve out now what's important, what's really important. And so when it comes to things like building healthy habits, or even building your prayer practices, well, first of all, I would say for prayer practice, that's always discernment with the Lord, because he knows what's going to be best for you. And in your current season of life, what's going to help draw you closer to himself, because that's the point of prayer, is relationship. And so it's not so much, can you do every novena ever? Can you do every litany that's ever been written? Or it's really more like, Lord, what are you asking me to do right now in this season? And let him guide that, those prayer practices. But you bring that same prudence and that same discernment to deciding what your healthy habits are as well, like your lifestyle habits. Like, how much exercise do you really need? And when it comes to things like this, I really like to think about what are the high impact habits. And so I often work with my clients on what are the habits that are going to take the least investment of your time and effort and have the highest return on investment. What are those high impact habits that you can streamline and build into your life in a system so that it becomes like it's on autopilot? You're not thinking about it all the time. It's just running in the background of your life, and it doesn't take a lot of your time or energy. That's the goal of healthy lifestyle habits. They should not take over your life. They should just be humming along in the background, enabling you to do what you're really here to do.
Absolutely. And I heard you say, you know, focus on one thing. What is the highest priority? And that the scripture verse came to mind, you know, only one thing is necessary. And yeah. The one thing that is necessary is our relationship with God. It is that prayer time. But I also heard you talk earlier, sometimes we're not there yet. You said that you had to start with your physical health, which led to your mental health, which then led to you being able to go to God and pray. And I think that's where coaching really is so invaluable, is because so many people are not at the point where they can sit and have quiet prayer time. We know it's important, but it's not a priority right now because we're not able to do it. And we're not able to do it because we don't know how to clear all of the other clutter out, whether it's the physical health, whether it's all of the mental chaos that's going on, our relationships and our families, all of those other things. And when we're able to work with a coach and clear up a lot of those things and get to the root of the problem so it's no longer an issue, then we're able to really hear the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's really common too, especially for moms. You might have your prayer time set aside, but if you are not sleeping and you're not eating well, or you're drinking heavily, or you're doing any of these other things that I mentioned, you will probably come to a time of prayer and just sit there and either be angry and resentful with the Lord because you're so tired you can't even think clearly, or you'll think, oh, I'm in such a time of desolation. And you're not in a time of desolation. You're sleeping.
You're just tired.
It's different. You're just tired. You just need a nap. It's a different situation.
Yeah. That is so true. Absolutely. Okay, I kind of want to circle back around to where we started. You talked about knowing, like, this is it, going from one thing to the next thing. So you were currently working on your master's, I believe, in chemistry, and then you decided, "No, I'm going to be a quitter," which is really hard for clerics to do. I'm going to be a quitter and I'm going to do this other thing. How did you know when it was time to just leave that life behind and start out on something new?
Well, for a little while, I didn't quit because, again, choleric. I had just pulled an A in physical chemistry, and I was super proud of myself. I was like, I am not dropping out of this master's in chemistry, because I had decided without consulting the Lord that I was going to be a chemistry teacher. And so this is what I was doing. Because I knew I loved teaching, and I knew I loved science, and I knew I loved the mechanisms of the body and how things worked. So I thought, sure, why not? I'm like, it's hard. I can do this. So I love hard things, like many cholerics. So I was going to do the hardest thing I could think of. And that was, why not pursue this degree in chemistry? And I actually continued working on that degree while I was forming a Thriving Catholic and while I was building out and starting my business. I was actually doing both. And I finally reached this point where I had to make a decision about knowing, like, I couldn't do everything, knowing that my time and my resources were limited. I had to just really be real with myself and say, okay, is this something I'm ever going to pursue or want to do? Or am I willing to go all in on this new venture and all in on this whole new coaching thing that I didn't know existed before? And it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made, because I see now how perfectly equipped the Lord has really prepared me for everything that I would do in my business and as an entrepreneur and in the work that I'm doing now. Whereas if I was just thinking this morning, I was in my kitchen and I was just thinking, what would my life be like if I was a chemistry teacher right now? And I thought, oh, I'd be so bored. I'd be so unfulfilled. I'd be doing the same thing all the time. And so, yeah, it is a hard thing for a choleric, especially because my first thought was, oh, people are going to think this was too hard for me. This wasn't too hard for me. I could totally do this. But it was a decision. It was a decision based on limited time and resources and what was really going to be the most fulfilling thing that I could possibly do with my life. And I think that that's the exciting thing about handing over control to the Lord, because not only does he know us better than we know ourselves, he also has so much better dreams for us than we have for ourselves. I was willing to settle for something so much less than what the Lord had in store for me. And it's been such a great gift to know and come to trust how good the Lord is and how his plans far exceed my plans. I am a grad school dropout, and I can tell you a lot about chemistry, but I am happily not a chemistry teacher now.
Yeah. And really quick, because we've talked about choleric a lot. So for anyone who is tuning in for the first time or who hasn't heard me talk about the temperaments, even though I speak about them a lot, choleric is someone who is quick to react to a stimuli. And as you can tell, these are often people who are in leadership positions. They really like to be in control. They like to be efficient and get things done. So that's a really quick synopsis of cholerics. St. Paul was a choleric, if you need a reference. I want to go back to, you said we do the hardest thing. And for clerics, it's easy to do the hardest thing. But I would almost add to that, or maybe if you're a cleric, you can take this question to prayer. Are we doing the hardest thing that is still in our control? Because we like to do hard things. Physical, at least for me, I know, like, physically hard, that doesn't sway me from doing it. If it's mentally hard, that doesn't keep me from doing it. But sometimes the harder thing is to do less. Sometimes the harder thing is to not do anything at all and to just sit and to wait. And so I would just, if you're a cleric, maybe take that to prayer. Okay. Before we wrap up, I would love to talk about, as we are exiting Lent, what happens next? So even those who went through your program or anyone who was just finishing up their Lent commitments, how do we move forward in this next liturgical season and not lose all of the things that we've established so far?
Yeah, it's such a great question. Well, you know, like I said, the purpose of Missio Prado and the purpose of Lent in and of itself, whether you did the challenge or didn't, is to become more fit, more capable, more ready for what the Lord has in store for you. So Lent, this 40-day period, we know, is a time of preparation. But what are you prepared for? And so I really love for people, as they're leaving Lent, to just reflect on, what is my mission? What is it that the Lord is calling me to do. And so that's why for my clients, I open up enrollment for my group coaching program, Mission Driven Peak Performance, which is where I help very driven, very motivated people who feel like the Lord is calling them to a big mission to be able to embrace these habits of body, mind, and soul and really take them to the next level. It's about peak performance. It's about being at your absolute best so that you can perform your best in whatever the mission is that the Lord has called you to. So I love it. I love it so much. This is my third cohort running it coming up, and it's just my favorite thing I do.
That's amazing. And I know you had a download at one point where you have even mapped it down. I mean, you talk about systems and the science behind what you do to where, like, which tasks you should be doing with your cycle. Is that?
Yeah.
That was you, right? Okay.
Yeah. That's something that I have a month on in Mission Driven Peak Performance. We talk about optimizing your hormonal health and syncing things to your menstrual cycle. So this is like the more advanced level. So if you wanted to think about like the Monsieur Prada Lenten Challenge as kind of basic, which for some people, they're like, what? That was basic? Well, that was basic. But when you come into Mission Driven Peak Performance, we're going to be talking about things like your gut microbiome and how do we now optimize and strive for better brain health? What are we going to be doing for your hormone health? Like these more advanced, I would say, topics of performance and peak performance, but we don't just do physical habits. It's very, very rooted in the mental and spiritual habits as well. Habits of productivity, habits of time management, habits of setting boundaries. These are things leaning into your strengths and your just your unique composition as a human being. So that's all things that we do in Mission Driven Peak Performance. But we also really focus on, with everything we're doing, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. So deep prayer is the most important thing. And in fact, the guiding image for me for Mission Driven Peak Performance is the parable of the sower, when Jesus talked about the seed that fell on, you know, amongst the thorns. And it sprang up and it was growing, but it was choked out by worldly concerns and anxiety and the lure of riches. And I think for many of my clients who are so mission driven, they want to bear fruit for the Lord. They want to spring up and bear fruit, but they're worried about their businesses. They're worried about money. They're worried about all of the earthly concerns. And so Mission Driven Peak Performance is really about, how do we cultivate the soil around you so that you are a thriving, flourishing plant that is bearing fruit for the Lord with his strength flowing through you and bearing that fruit. And so that's kind of the mental image I always have in mind when I think about this program and what we're hoping to do with it. Because I think that it is those type A driven people who have been called by the Lord to a mission who are most at risk of letting it get choked out by thorns and weeds and the anxieties of life. So I think about it as helping you become burnout proof, helping you increase your capacity for excellence in body, mind, and soul so that you can long-term keep doing the work that God's given you to do.
Absolutely. All right. I would love to end with the scripture verse that you gave me. I always end guest calls with either a prayer tip or a scripture verse and why you think every woman should know the scripture verse. So you gave me Ephesians 3:20. All glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Why do you love this verse?
Well, I think for me, the word accomplish is just so sparkly and exciting because, again, I love to accomplish things. But I also love this verse because all the glory goes to God, who is the one who's accomplishing in and through us so much more than we could even imagine, so much more than we could even ask or think. So I just love it. I think that's the path to absolutely accomplishing the most we can possibly do in our lives.
Thank you so much for being here, Jessica. I just want to acknowledge the work that you are doing. I think it is so incredible how you have looked at the whole human person, the body and soul, and are helping those who have been created by God as natural doers. We want to do things and we want to do them with excellence, and helping women like that lean into the gifts that God has given them rather than resisting them or feeling like something is wrong, and not losing those gifts. As you mentioned earlier, worrying that our gifts are not being utilized, you're helping them to really utilize those gifts in the way that they were created to be used. So thank you so much for all that you are doing, all of the wonderful coaching that you are offering the world. And you also have a podcast. Do you want to share about your podcast and where people can find you?
Yeah, sure. So my podcast is called A Thriving Catholic. And I am online at athrivingcatholic.com, on Facebook and Instagram, all at A Thriving Catholic.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you all for joining in once again. As we wrap up here today, I just want to invite anyone who is looking to do more in their life with more hope and clarity and less overwhelm and worry to send an email to info@kyliemhine.com to connect with me directly and figure out a plan that is best for you and your state of life. And if you'd love to hear more from Jessica and myself, you can check out her podcast, A Thriving Catholic. The link to Deepening Your Prayer Life with Kylie Hine is in the show notes. God bless and happy Easter.
Beautiful souls, thank you again for journeying with me. If you have been blessed by this episode, it would mean the world to me if you would leave a review. Be sure to screenshot it, share it on your social media stories, and don't forget to tag me on Instagram or Facebook at Kylie M. Hine. Stay persistent in prayer, protect your peace, and as always, share the light of Christ with everyone around you.